spirit and in truth.
Lift up those hands all over the house. This is the time when true worshipers will worship Him. How many true worshipers do we have here in the house, right here in Convention 2011? These are the days that my Father's ways will be known to men. This is the hour that the Spirit's power will move again as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. For You are holy. Somebody tell Him tonight. Holy, holy is Your name, for You are worthy, so worthy. Let all the earth proclaim You are mighty, so mighty. There is no God like You. As we worship You in spirit and in truth. One more time. For You are holy, so holy, holy is Your name, for You are worthy, so worthy. Let all the earth proclaim You are mighty, so mighty. There is no God like You. As we worship You in spirit and in truth. Somebody lift up those hands and tell the Lord tonight, Lord, we'll worship You in spirit and in truth. One more time all over the house. Somebody tell Him, Lord, we'll worship You in spirit and in truth. Put those hands together tonight. Come on all over this great house. Somebody thunder the heaven with a praise. Somebody lift up that voice to your God tonight. Somebody magnify the Lord. Lift up those hands and somebody glorify Him tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we magnify You tonight. And God, we give You praise in this great house. Right here in Convention 2011. Lord, I thank You tonight for the great impartation of Your Word and of Your Spirit into Your sons and daughters. And we magnify You tonight in a praise. We magnify You tonight with uplifted hand that Your Spirit is going to move and impart the blessing. Impart the miracle. Impart your healing touch. And we give you praise tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a great big hand clap tonight. On my right, I want you to give this fine lady a great big hand clap tonight. Give Octavia Lord a great big hand clap. Hallelujah. I want you to touch one person tonight before you're seated. Take somebody by the hand and say, you might as well get used to me. I'm around forever. When the heavens are no more and the earth can't be found, I'll still be living. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight. You can be seated. We've already come through two great powerful services right here last night. Amen. With Dr. Holloway, and then this morning with this great man from Phoenix, Arizona, Brother Larry. Hallelujah. I was blessed. Already, if you got your Bible tonight, your holy library, I want you to get it out. Paul said this before we turn tonight. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I don't believe that God has called us alone to just hear the message. Amen. And to believe the message, but to walk in the message. And to live by the faith that God has given us in this hour. When I look in Hebrews 11, I find that each one of these individuals that God spoke to, none of them at that time had a Bible, as you and I have today. But God visited them, such as Abraham, at the age of 75. Abraham had never heard the voice of God until he had reached that age. Moses never had an encounter with God until he reached the age of 80. Say amen. No matter what was given to each one of these individuals, each one of them, when you read Hebrews 11, you'll find that they all had a different message from God. But they all had also the same faith. The same faith that was delivered to Abraham was the same faith that God gave to each one of these others. Moses, Jonathan, David, Samuel. Every one of them had the same faith that was delivered. The same faith that was delivered to Abraham, God delivered the same faith to Moses. Yet what he said from one generation to another was not the same. What God gave to Abraham was not what he had said to Moses. And what God had said to Moses was not what he had said to others that are listed there in Hebrews 11. But each one of these had the great reward of the Lord. The Bible said it is impossible to please God without faith. And those that come to Him must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder. Say that word tonight. That He is a rewarder. To them that diligently seek Him. Now, when you look at Hebrews 11, you'll find that the reward that God gave in that chapter was the same. Because each one, amen, that is listed there could not please God until God delivered faith into their life or, listen, He rewarded them with a God kind of faith. Hallelujah. Now there's only one way you can please God. And that is you're going to have to, first of all, in coming to God, believe that He is. And seeking Him diligently when you don't have the faith that was once delivered to others. How many wants to have a supernatural walk with God? How many wants to know what God, amen, gave in other times that He can make it real today for His people? I want you to reach up and touch your neighbor and say, the Lord is getting ready to make everything that He has said to you real. But you're going to have to walk it out in faith. Just as others who heard God. When Abraham heard the voice of God for the first time, faith came by hearing the word that came out of God's mouth. I want to get the God kind of faith the way that others received it in times past. I want a supernatural visitation and encounter from God like others have had. Now don't tell me that God has quit visiting His people. I will tell you that this is the day of a new visitation. And this is an hour of a new awakening. That God is getting ready to not just send forth revival rains, but He is getting ready to send forth His word out of His mouth to His sons and daughters. That through that visitation and that reward of faith that is going to come to them through the hearing of that word, they're going to rise up and walk in the earth as a supernatural generation, having power with God, but also having power in the earth to do the will of God. Reach up and touch your neighbor and say, the Lord getting ready to visit you anew and afresh. Your fire, your zeal has gone out. And for many in this day, and the Lord is getting ready to bring back and rekindle and restore and revisit and pour out upon His sons and daughters today, amen, a new illumination of His power. You better get ready. Somebody shout at your neighbor, say, you better get ready for something brand new. From the time of Adam all the way up to the time of Enoch, you will find that when God drove Adam out from the garden of God, He did not visit any of those generations from the time of Adam until Enoch was born, that He had passed over all those generations until finally this one man, Enoch, came on the scene. Every generation up to that time received what Adam had passed on to them, which was the same sin as well as the same death was passed on. Bible said that all that were in Adam died. But because God stepped down after the passing of all those generations, which I believe about seven generations, God passed over all those generations. How many have seen in this day how that God has passed over people? And He has done nothing for them, nor has He visited them, nor has He spoke to them. I believe that you are a generation that God seeks not to pass over, but to stop and visit. Richmond, touch your neighbor, say, I know that the Lord is getting ready to speak to me. As He spoke to His Enochs of old, I don't care what has been passed on to you through bloodline. I don't care what your family before you has died from. You're a generation today because of what is going to happen to you the same way that it happened to Enoch. Enoch was supposed to die like every other man died that came out of Adam. But because God visited Enoch and spoke to him, and Enoch believed the very word that came to him, he rose up in faith because of the faith that was delivered to him through the hearing of the word. And he walked past that death that was supposed to come upon him because of the authority of what came out of God's mouth when God visited that great man called Enoch. This is a day that the Lord, amen, is going to let some of us walk around what everybody else is walking through. And He's going to give us power over sickness. He's going to give us power over disease. He's going to give us power over infirmity. He's going to give us power over poverty. He's going to give us power over the elements of where others, amen, have been bound under the elements. Amen. God is going to give us power to rise up above it. But it's going to come through the hearing of His word. We've got to take on what God has said to us and begin to rise up and walk after the authority of that word and begin to realize that our deliverance is in thus saith the Lord. Our healing is in thus saith the Lord. In what God is delivering to us in this house through the message is not just believing the message, but rising up to walk out the message that we might receive the life that is in it and have it more abundantly. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is getting ready to shake the church in this day, and God is getting ready to bring us up and out of everything that man has fallen into, because we are the people to whom have the reward of the Lord. Yeah. Shout at your neighbor, say, I have the God kind of faith. They that come to God, who are they that have to come to God? Those that don't know how to please God yet. When I first came to God, I didn't know how to please Him. Nor did anybody in Hebrews 11 know. It was God that was going to give them the power to please God. Now tell your neighbor, say, the Lord's going to give you power to please God. For those that have not the faith of God have to come to Him and believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. What are they going to seek Him for? It is not the Cadillac car. It is not the big mansion somewhere that is isolated in some fine area of Chicago, Illinois. No, it is the reward of faith that God will deliver to His people that causes them, once they receive it, to become pleasing to God. I found out a long time ago that I wasn't trying to please God, but it was God who gave me the power to please Him. That after that I had sought Him, turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to have to seek God out. Hallelujah. If you've got faith, you're going to stand today and stand tomorrow. Faith does not fall apart 6 weeks after you hear the voice of God concerning something because it hadn't come to pass, or faith doesn't fall apart in your life after 6 years because it hadn't come to pass. All these that had the God kind of faith in Hebrews 11 walked out, amen, what God had given them, and staggered not at the promise. No matter what they had to walk through and no matter how much time had to go by. Are you hearing me tonight? When you've heard God, amen, He has given you through the hearing of that word, when He finally comes into your life and begins to speak to you, and you hear the voice of God for the first time, it is right there that faith is delivered to you the same way that He delivered it to others. I want to get what God has for me the same way that He gave it to others in times past. Amen. That I might walk in the supernaturalness of what He has ordained me as a generation for this last hour. Not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, I'm going to walk in the supernatural and the miraculous, and people that are dwelling and abiding and going to church with me are going to wonder about who I am in the Lord because of the power that is in my life. Reach up and touch a neighbor and say, you need to hear the voice of God. Abraham heard the voice of God for the first time at the age of 75. Abraham, who was minding his own business for 75 years, God appeared to him. And through what Abraham heard for the first time, he didn't get it out of a Bible. Faith came by hearing God. Say amen. Faith came by hearing the voice of God. Because faith comes when God opens His mouth for the first time and sends a word into your life. Say amen. When does that word come? When you, having not the faith of God, go before God to seek Him out, believing that He is, diligently seeking Him, that through the diligence of seeking Him, you will receive the same reward that He delivered unto others in times past, which is the reward of faith. Supernatural faith. Touch your neighbor and say, you're going to have supernatural faith. I'm talking about faith that gives you the power to stand today, stand tomorrow. I'm talking about the God kind of faith that gives you power to walk through no matter what comes upon you as a child of God. You're given power through the God kind of faith to walk, amen, out what God has made you to hear until it comes to pass. Can I preach here tonight? I'm going to stand today and stand tomorrow. Amen. God's raising up a generation that knows how to stand through whatever they've got to walk through until thus saith the Lord comes to pass. Whatever you've heard God say here in this house, this is an hour that we need to realize that that word is out there in the Spirit getting ready to come to pass. God is getting ready to give power to His word. He's getting ready to give manifestation to His promise. He's getting ready to move upon the things that He has spoken to us, that He's made us to stand. He's made us to wait. He's made us to walk through the, amen, the element of time. But this is the hour of His manifestation. This is the day that He's going to bring some things to pass for His sons and daughters. And what we have heard is going to be made manifest in the earth. Reach up and touch your neighbor and say, just because this revelation that God has given you has not come to power or manifestation, does not make it, amen, real, because it hadn't happened yet. I know a lot of people don't understand that God will make you believe something for a long time before it ever comes to pass. He'll make you stand through sickness, through disease. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach here tonight. Some years ago, I called a young man out in one of my services in Dallas, Texas. He was suffering from a disease called Crohn's disease. I gave him a great word from the Lord as the Spirit of God moved upon me to go to him. And I called him out of a crowd of about 300 people. And I gave him a prophetic word about his ministry and his calling and what God was going to do with his life. 10 years later had passed after I'd given him that word, and I got a phone call one night, real late in the night, from ICU, from a hospital in the Dallas area. Here was this young gentleman on the other line calling from the hospital, suffering with the Crohn's disease that had been in his body all that time, since the time that God gave him that great word. That the disease looked like it was taking over. And the man, amen, and his health and his life was going down and was going to be taken. In his hour of discouragement and being intoxicated with morphine, he called me up and said, "Preacher, what about that word that I got 10 years ago?" I said, "What about it, my brother?" I said, "I'm not going to take a word of it back. God gave it to me for you, and that word has more power than what you're going through." I said, "That word that is over your life, the only way you're able to call me tonight is because of that power of God's word that is over your life that was imparted to you 10 years ago. That word has kept you up until this hour, and that word is going to bring you out of ICU, and you're going to be healed and set free by the power of God. And God said you're going to go into all the world and preach." Where do you think he is tonight? He got out of ICU, got healed of his Crohn's disease, stepped into his ministry, and now he's carrying his calling everywhere just as the word of the Lord fell upon him, because the word is greater than your circumstances. The word is greater than what you're called upon by God to walk through. The word is greater than the element of time that you've got to pass through. Jesus himself couldn't perform one miracle until he reached the age of 30. He had to live around the blind, the lame, the whole, the sick of his day, and could not help one of them until God gave power to his word. And the scripture said that he was the word made flesh. The same word that God had delivered to everyone in Hebrews 11, that word one day put on flesh and walked among men. Are you hearing me tonight? He was more than just the Son of God. He was the Word made flesh. That word walked among men. And for 30 years,
God never gave power to His promise or to His word until the Spirit fell upon Him at John's baptism. And at the age of 30, He rose up, amen, where God had anointed that word of God for manifestation and for fulfillment. Now put your hand on your neighbor and say, the hour is coming upon you and may already be here. That God is getting ready to bring, amen, manifestation to the promise. He's getting ready to bring manifestation to the message. He's getting ready to bring manifestation to what thus saith the Lord has said to you by the Spirit of God. Can I preach this here tonight? Just because time has passed by, just because you haven't seen what thus saith the Lord has said to you, does not mean that it is not going to happen. Upon this rock, God is going to make you to stand. Stand on that word and don't be moved away from thus saith the Lord. Because as you stand on the authority of that word, it's going to give you power to walk through things that other men can't walk through. Can I preach here tonight? Where's that generation that's got power with God? That when, amen, how do you know you got faith? Faith comes alive when you're in the midst of your circumstance. If you've got true faith, faith comes alive when you're walking through hell. If you've got true faith, you won't talk, amen, with words full of discouragement. You will talk with words that are filled with faith. When it looks like Satan has come for your life, hallelujah, then you open your mouth, and the faith that is in your life through what God has made you to hear gives you power to speak what thus saith the Lord has said concerning you. And Satan can't touch a man or a woman that has power through the word and has faith in that word to stand. God has made me to believe a lot of things. When you seek God to have His reward, and the reward is the same. Tell your neighbor, say, your reward is no different than mine. The same faith that was delivered unto the saints in times past is the same faith that God wants to deliver today. There's only one way you can please God. And that's through the God kind of faith that has to be delivered to you. Reach up and touch your neighbor and say, I hope you have faith or you're contending for it. Let us contend for the faith that was once delivered. Tell your neighbor, say, it has to be delivered. You can't get faith on your own. Even when the message of Christ was first preached to you, you couldn't have received faith through that unless a preacher from God had been sent to you with the message. Can I preach that? You believed on Christ, you believed on the message because of the faith that was delivered to you through the hearing of the message. But it came to you through a God-sent messenger from the Lord. And because that was where your faith began, in Christ, God is going to move some of you into a higher place, into a higher realm of faith. I'm calling it a higher realm of faith because a lot of people don't understand real faith today. Real faith comes by hearing God. And it begins when you hear the voice of God for the first time. Say amen. I could have not survived what I've been through for 26 years in walking through some of the circumstances and situations that I've been through as a man of God and a son of God, if I had not truly heard from God. Say amen. Amen. Now we think because we're sons of God and we're born of the Spirit, born of the Word, born of the water, and born of the Spirit, that we're never going to be called upon to walk through some things. If you have this message that Dr. Harlow White is preaching, you're going to face things that other people are not going to face. You're going to go through some circumstances, let me tell you, hallelujah, that it's going to look like you're not going to come out. Hallelujah. Why? Because there are very few that are in the earth. There's not that many in all of Christianity that is believing a lot of what some of you are believing that God has delivered into your life through this ministry of Dr. Harlow White. Are you hearing me tonight? There's not another man like this man that I have ever run into. I have never run into a man like this man in all the years. And my papa raised me in the gospel. I've been around the gospel all my life. I'm 54 years of age. And I've seen everything. Hallelujah. But this is a man like no other man that God has ever raised up. And what he carries in the Lord, amen, has not been passed on to him through man, but has been passed on to him through God, that he might deliver it and bring it into your life. Because God doesn't just want him to believe it. God wants a whole generation that's going to rise up and begin to believe what has been delivered to one. God wants to deliver it unto others. Amen. But you got to rise up and begin to walk with it. You got to rise up and begin to seek God out that he may begin to speak to you. You got to rise up and take hold to what has been brought here for 20-something years, amen, almost 30 years in this city, and rise up and begin to believe it, because that is the thing that gives you power to walk through whatever you're called upon to walk through. Because those that have this message, if you have it from God and you're standing in it with a God kind of faith, you're going to come through things that's going to give glory to God. Hallelujah. When cancer can't kill you, amen, and when circumstances of life that should have taken you out have been removed out of your life, and you're still standing after it's gone, declaring the word of the Lord and the power of God for your generation, it is going to birth people into the same salvation that God has birthed you in by what they see happen with you. Shout at your neighbor, say they got to be something different with you than with, amen, others out here that's in this thing called Christianity. You got to have something that outshines them all. Jesus said, lest your righteousness exceeds and excels and goes beyond the righteousness of the scribe and the Pharisee. He said, you too shall not enter into the kingdom of God. But I believe there's a generation that's rising up, that's taking hold of this and taking hold of the power of the message. There's not much difference between God's people today and the people out here in society. The same things that control the mindsets of people out here control Christianity, control the people who claim that they're filled with the Spirit. Now, don't get me on that. Hallelujah. We've yet to conquer and to overcome. And I believe a lot of people have not conquered and overcome because they don't have the God kind of faith that was delivered in times past. If they had faith, they would be overcomers. They would overcome the carnal man. They would overcome, amen, and be more disciplined as individuals in the kingdom of God. We cannot even control our appetites. I know I touched something that, you know, don't mess with my food, preacher. That's the only thing I got left. I don't have anything else to enjoy in life. But my food, don't mess with my food. Hallelujah. I'm still wearing the same size suit that I started in the gospel with years ago. I can reach up and still pull out of that closet suits that I wore when I first got started, and I can put them on and wear them. Hallelujah. I'll just preach this part with my eyes closed so I won't have to look at some of you. Glory to God. We claim to be supernatural. We claim to be, amen, kingdom people. And we can't even control things that people out here in the world just let it run wild. Now, if you're in what I'm in what God's put me in, hallelujah, He governs over your life. There are times that Spirit of God comes to me and tells me, you're not eating today. I'm not. No. Hallelujah. Now tell your neighbor, say, why don't you have this yet in your life? Why is this not working yet? As long as you've been under this message, some of you should already be in that place to where the first, amen, thing that you've stepped into is the power to overcome. Overcome. Turn to your neighbor and say, overcome. See, we are being overcome because we don't overcome. And it's time some of us overcome. All my family are big people. They're from Germany. On my mother's side. And let me tell you, when it's time to eat, there's no place on the table. That table is just filled with every kind of thing you can imagine you can put down. And all my family are big folk. Amen. And they think, some of them, that there's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. Because, you know, I'm going to live on while they suffer through sugar diabetes, while they suffer through, say amen. Because when you're born of faith and God has given you faith through the hearing of the message, He will lead you into a walk to where the first thing you're going to do before you get to promise. Now, reach up and touch your neighbor, say, God is more in the journey with you than He is in bringing you to the promise. He's not in a mad rush to get you to some things that you think you need to be in right now. When God delivered Israel out of Egypt, after 430 years, He allowed them to stay in Egypt until He delivered them. After 430 years, He kept them in the wilderness 40 years and had a divine reason. He never intended to let them get the promise in 7 days. Even if they were full of faith, He was not going to let them get to promise in 7 days. Why? Because He was going to give them a different lifestyle than what they had had for 430 years. Now, you can't learn the life that God has for you and live it out and walk it out in a week or in 10 years. It takes time to learn what God wants you to learn in a lifestyle of things that He wants you to live through what He's going to reveal through His Word. In the wilderness, because the word wilderness is the word midbar. Somebody say midbar. It is the Hebrew word midbar. Now, when you look up that word wilderness, you'll find out that it does not mean by definition desert, dry place, amen, Sahara Desert. Doesn't mean that at all. But when you look up the word wilderness, it is the Hebrew word midbar, that when you first define it and you read it in the Strong's there, when it shows you, it says this verse. Wilderness means this. It means a sense of driving, as a shepherd who driveth his sheep. But it doesn't stop there. Comma. It also means to speak. It also means to teach. It also means, comma, to arrange. So when God delivered Israel out from Egypt, as he delivered some of you out of the world, he drove them like a shepherd out into a place called the Midbar. And it was in the Midbar that he was going to speak to them and address them as a people. He was going to teach them. Are you hearing me? And he was going to arrange for them something brand new. Now, it was in the wilderness, because the wilderness is the important part of your journey. See, when Jesus came to John's baptism and stepped down into that water after 30 years, it was right there that when the Spirit of God came upon him without measure, that the Bible said in one place he was driven out by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. 40 days he was there. And in another place, it said that he was led. So I recognize this. To be led is the same as being driven. Reach up and touch your neighbor. Say, are you led? If you're led, then you're driven. People are driven to eat. They're driven to have every kind of sex you could imagine. They're driven for everything else except for driven by God. See, when the Spirit comes into your life, now tell your neighbor, say, you can have the message, but you got to have the Spirit also. You can't have the message without the Spirit. You can't have the Spirit without the message. You've got to have them both together. Say amen. Now, Jesus was the Word. Somebody say it. Jesus was the Word. But the Word was without the Spirit for 30 years. And God gave no power to that Word until he stepped down into John's baptism. When Jesus stepped down into John's baptism, the Spirit of God came upon him and then drove him out into the wilderness. Hallelujah. People will say, I feel led to pray. But when was the last time they were led into a 21-day fast? When were they led to go 40 days on a fast? I better leave this alone. When was the last time, amen, they were led to go on a 14 or a 7 or a 3-day fast? You don't hear about anybody fasting anymore in the kingdom. Amen. If you want to find folks that are fasting, you got to go over in the camp of the witches and into the camps of New Age people. They believe more in fasting and prayer than, amen, kingdom people. Can I preach here? This is a prayerless generation. And not only is it a prayerless generation, it is a generation that has lost its ability to be driven by the Spirit, that they might be taught and that God might speak to them and arrange something new for their life. Reach up and touch your neighbor. Say, the Lord getting ready to arrange something new for you. Out with the old and in with the new. When he drove them out of Egypt, he drove them into the wilderness as a shepherd who driveth his sheep. And it was in the wilderness or in the Midbar that God gave them the power of a new lifestyle. And then forced that lifestyle upon them for 40 years. Now put your hand on your neighbor and say, you hadn't gone too far to get your blessing because you won't accept that part that God's trying to force on you. You got to accept the life. You've got to accept the walk. You've got to accept the faith. You've got to accept everything that is in the message. You've got to accept, I said, and not just believe it. You've got to put it on and practice it from one year to the next until it becomes bone of your bone, mind of your mind, spirit of your spirit, that when we see you and you come through that door, you're the message of the kingdom all wrapped up in one package and you're walking it out before this generation. The only time people know that we're kingdom are the people that we go to church with. Once we go out that door, people don't know what we are because there's not anything different between us and them. See that God said to His people, I put a difference between you and the Egyptians. Because what I have given to you in a lifestyle, amen, has come down from God out of the higher places of spiritual elevation. What I have, say it with your mouth, has come from God. And I'm going to walk it out, live it out. Before this day, before this hour, I'm not looking for the praises of men. I'm looking for the praises of God. I'm looking for God to say, well done. I'm looking for God to say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Now, God is sometimes more in the journey than He is in the end of a thing. Because we never get that part that God wants to give us that is given to us through the journey. We're always trying to get around what God wants to give us through the journey to get to the blessing. I want this resurrected life. I want this power over death. But we're not willing to live out and walk out in a lifestyle of things that is given to us through the message. Are you hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. See, it doesn't make any difference what other people do. Even people that I go to church with and minister to. I don't care what they do. I'm going to do what God is leading or driving me to do. In the month of July, I see God driving me into more fasting. He's getting me ready for something. Hallelujah. Now, fasting is not going to kill you. Most likely, it's going to heal you. It's the food that's killing you, babe. Say amen. I don't look too bad for 54. Really. On my way to 60, on my way to be Abraham here. Glory to God. Now, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness with God, when they were in the Midbar with God, God gave them a sense of driving. And He drove them like a shepherd who driveth his sheep. And it was in the wilderness where God had prepared for them something great that they were going to live out that was completely different from what the Egyptians were all about. See, God always gives His people something that others do not have. Somebody say amen. And He will keep you in the Midbar however long you need to be kept there. And will not bring you to promise. Until you put on the message. Until you live out the message. See, when the children of Israel were in the law age that was given to them through Moses in the wilderness, they had to obey 613 commandments yearly and could not break one command. You know what that tells me? That tells me this, that when children were born under that law, they were to sustain from certain things and never in their whole lifetime ever taste it. They had to stay away from it. So that meant this, that all their life they would never know what it was to taste ham. They would never know what it was to put a shrimp in their mouth. They will never know as long as they're keeping the law. Because in order to get the power to get wealth, under Moses' law that was given to them, under Moses' lifestyle that was given to them in the wilderness, on their way to promise, they had to put on 613 commandments and live it out from one year to the next. Now, some of us can't even do one thing that the Spirit says to us, much less keep 613 commandments. Can I preach this? See, the law age taught people how to keep commandments. And that Jesus himself was born in the time of the law. And had yearly to keep 613 commandments. Hallelujah. Not 10 commandments. But 10 commandments plus 603 with it. Now, when Jesus made this great statement, he said, you'll always have the poor with you. Under that law, amen, they were a people that had been given their own lifestyle from God. In that lifestyle, there was no ordination for poverty, only for wealth. Are you hearing me? God said, keep these ordinances, walk after these statutes, walk in these judgments. And he said, I will give you the power to get wealth, that I may establish my covenant in the earth through you. But it is only through those that keep 613 commandments. When Jesus stepped down into John's baptism, he had been prepared. Amen. Through that law, he had been taught how to keep commandments. That through that law, amen, it had taught him not only how to keep commandments, but how to stay in the blessing. Now reach over and touch a neighbor. Say, whatever the Spirit says to you, do it. You want to stay in the blessing. A lot of people never get to the blessing. And if they get there, they won't stay there. Because they don't see the severity yet until they suffer through many things by disobeying. And see, the Lord will let you experience the good as well as the bad. Just to teach you where He wants you as a kingdom believer. He wants you in the promise. And He wants you under the blessing. That when Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with you, what was he talking about? He was talking about that you will always have these people that from one generation to the next and have been cursed four generations because they've broken the law. Amen. And the curse was passed on to them. See, under the law of Moses, you could not make excuses that the devil was fighting you. You were either cursed or you were blessed. Did you hear me? If I looked out into your field, my field was growing up because I was keeping the law. Hallelujah, and I wasn't eating pork. And I looked over in your field, and your field was pushing up weeds, and you couldn't grow anything because it was cursed over there. You couldn't run over and get prayer from me that the devil was fighting your blessing. And that your harvest wasn't going to come in this year because of what the devil was doing against you. You couldn't blame anything on the devil under that law. You were either blessed or you're cursed. And if you came to poverty, it's because you never, amen, got it right. Or it was passed down from generation to generation. That if one broke it, then others were taught to break it. And if one was brought to poverty, others were brought to poverty. But in the house of Israel, God never ordained poverty. Come on, somebody help me here. Oh, I'm going to cry aloud here. Amen. God hadn't ordained poverty with the kingdom people. I'm going to cry aloud here. that God is getting ready to raise up some people that are going to be driven. God is going to raise up some people that are going to get into the life of the kingdom message, and they're going to start living it again. They're going to start believing it again. They're going to start walking it out before their brethren in this day, and they're not going to worry about where everybody else is living. They're going to worry about where they're living with God so that they can attain, amen, the fullness of the blessing of what God wants them to have. This is the day that the Lord is getting ready to bring us out of some things, but He's getting ready to open the door for us to go into a brand new thing. He's arranged something for us in the world. When that spirit comes on us and it begins to drive us, He's driving us to promise. He's driving us to fulfillment. He's driving us to something that is ahead. But before we get to the blessing, there's something that God wants me to walk out. There's something that He wants me to live before heaven. He's not worried so much about what I'm out here trying to live before men. He wants me to live it before heaven first, and before those many witnesses. And if I live it before God, then the pleasing of the Father will be upon me. And He'll not keep me so long in something like others are going to be kept. He'll move me out of the wilderness and move me up into promise. He'll cause me to cross over and go into the land that flows with milk and with honey, because I've been willing and obedient. He's going to let me eat the good of the land. Shout at somebody, say, what are you going to live this year? We ain't living nothing that's any different from what Christians out here are living. We're not living anything different than what, amen, other people are living. Amen. There's no difference between us and that which is out here. But there was a difference between Jesus and everybody else that was in His day. And He was the firstborn among many brethren. I'm going to cry aloud here. If He was a different man, then God has called you to be different. And He wants you to walk with power. And He wants you to walk with the supernaturalness of what He was given. No man had what Jesus had. And when Jesus made some of these profound statements, we only hear it in the religious mind of what we've been taught. When Jesus said this, what if a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He wasn't talking about anybody except for himself. Because he was the first man to whom had all power in heaven and in earth. That there was not one man that was walking on the earth that had this kind of an anointing upon him, that all the power in the world was given to him, as well as all the power in the heavens was placed upon him at one time. And he was a man that could have lost his soul if he didn't obey the ultimate commandment and go all the way to Calvary. This Jesus, after He healed the sick, after He cleansed the leper, after He raised the dead, He would have died off like Adam died off. He would have fallen into death the same way that the first son fell into death if He had not obeyed the command. Hallelujah. His ministry was not just to the leper. His ministry was not just, amen, to heal the sick and to cleanse the leper. And to, amen. His ministry was to raise those that were in death, and He was going to raise them up through obeying the commandment. Well, I'm going to cry aloud here. In the wilderness, Satan came to him and said, bow down and worship me, I'll give you power of all these kingdoms. Well, Satan didn't know that God had already put the power of all those kingdoms on him. He had the power of everything that was in the world. All power in heaven and in earth was given unto him. I don't know anybody, whether their name is Donald Trump or Bill Gates, that has gained the whole world. I'm going to cry aloud. Jesus was that man that gained the whole world, because God had given him all power in heaven and in earth. Say amen. Now when Jesus said this, Why callest me Lord, and then do not the things that I say? There will be many in that day that will say, Lord, Lord, did not we do all these marvelous things in your name? And He shall say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. When Jesus made those profound statements, He was talking about Himself first. What if a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He was talking about his own soul. And he was talking about himself. Say amen. Now tell me, if Jesus didn't go to Calvary, what would have happened to his soul? He had not obeyed the ultimate command. That commandment did not come to him out of 613 commandments. But the law that God had put him under had taught him from the time he was a child how to keep commandments. And knew which ones to keep from what he needed to stay away from because of the things that he had suffered. He learned obedience. See, under the law of Moses, you learn obedience, or you just fall into poverty and stay there. Say amen. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And I guarantee you, he suffered somewhere to where he saw the power of the covenant that he was under, that had been given through Moses in the Midbar. See, whatever covenant you're under, that covenant has power. And it has eyes. It can see whether you're obeying it or whether you're doing something else. Now reach up and touch your neighbor and say, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. Under the law, under the law of Moses, you couldn't blame anything on the devil. I'm almost finished. I'll prophesy. Amen. Under the law, you learned through suffering what works from what doesn't work. They really had it pretty difficult compared to where the Lord has put you and I in having to keep so many commandments. And they even had to meet with the Lord. The priesthood had to meet with the Lord 3 times a year in the place that God would choose. That means you couldn't choose your own meeting place. You couldn't choose where it was going to be at or how you wanted it. Because if it was 50 miles away, you'd have to prepare to make the journey and take all your family with you and everything else. God said, I'll meet with you 3 times a year. And they had to meet with God 3 times a year. And all those things that they had to go through, all the offerings that they had to bring to the altar, all those things had to be obeyed in order to get to the power to get wealth. People want to just, get prophecy. Come on, preacher, put a word on me. Tell me how God's going to make me rich. But then, where do we live in our life before God in what He has taught us through the message? Say amen. Now, if you want new strength, get back under the message. If you want new prosperity, get back under the message. Start believing and obeying it, and let the Spirit, because with the message, the Spirit is there. That's going to deal with you in where God wants you to walk. Don't worry about whether in examining other people's lives, whether they're walking where you're walking. Because you're going to find out what you're hearing God say to you. There ain't nobody hearing it but you. Amen. Saints are eating themselves to death. Amen. And when you get around believers, that's all you hear coming out of their mouth is, let's go eat. Say amen. But where's that generation today that has the reward of the Lord through what God has made them to hear? The reward of the Lord is true faith. The God kind of faith. That if God has given you that reward, others who have it also realize that it's the same. What God gives to one man, He gives to another, that they may be pleasing to God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. When you have no faith, you come to God and you believe that He is. And then you diligently seek Him that He may give you the reward of faith. Once the reward of faith comes upon your life, you can make the journey toward promise. That's why I believe a lot of people don't stay in the journey. It's because they really didn't get the God kind of faith. Hallelujah. And when things got difficult, when there was divorce, when there was sickness, when there was disease, when there were financial troubles, because they didn't have the reward of real faith, they fell out of the journey. Where are they tonight in Chicago, Illinois? Hallelujah. Are they standing strong like they were standing strong when they first came in? If they're not, it's because somewhere, amen, they never had the faith. But when you have the faith that was delivered unto the saints, no matter what you get thrown into, whether it's a fiery furnace or a one night with the lions, God is going to give you power to walk through some things. Through that faith that has been delivered to you, if it's 10 years of walking, you're going to come through victorious. Amen. If it's hell on earth that you've got to walk through, and you've taken on 3 incurable diseases, but yet you've got a promise from God about what God has for your life, you're going to come through every one of those diseases, be healed by the power of God, amen, and be raised up as a testimony of what Jesus is and what the kingdom power of God is all about in the earth. Come on, somebody help me here. We're coming through. Shout at your neighbor. Say, we're coming through and we're coming out. We're coming out because God has created us for His glory. I am reminded of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. I'll quit. Hallelujah. I am reminded of Isaiah 43 that God said to Jacob, O Jacob, I have created you. O Israel, I have formed you. I have created you and formed you that when you walk through the fire cannot burn you. When you come through the waters that come in upon you to overflow you, those waters won't be able to drown you out. For I have created you and formed you for my glory. I can't be burned out. I can't be drowned. Sickness and disease cannot touch me, even though it might touch me for a moment. I said it may touch me for a moment, but the power of the kingdom of God is going to bring me out. Put your hand on your neighbor. Say, if you are formed for God's glory, then you're going to go through the fire. If you are formed for God's glory, you're going to come through the flood. I said you're going to come through it. And you're going to come through the fire victorious. Now shout at somebody. Say, who made you? Is God making you? Is God forming you? What in the world are you formed for? You're formed for the glory of God. And because you were formed for the glory of God, the glory of God is going to be seen over your circumstance, over your situation. You're going to come out, and when you come out, amen, some of you, amen, have had to suffer through some things just like Job. But when God got finished with Job, Satan, the devil, couldn't touch him for 140 years. Some believers, I run into it everywhere. They think they're going to fight with the devil the rest of their salvation. I don't find Job fighting with the devil all his life. Job went through what he went through because of something that was right in his life. Have you considered my servant Job? I've walked through some things in my life. And God came to me and said, you think Job was the only one that went through what he went through? He said, I've had many Jobs since the time of Job. That I was the one that let the hedge be torn down around you. But I'm the one that's going to put it back up. And when I put it back up, amen, God said to me, Satan couldn't touch Job for 140 years. After he restored Job, Job lived out 140 years and Satan couldn't touch him anymore. Everywhere I go, I hear more of a testimony out of believers about what the devil does in their life than what God is doing. Reach over and touch your neighbor and say, the Lord getting ready to change your testimony. When they come for prayer in my church, I make them hold their peace. I don't even want to hear it. Why is it you know Him so well and don't even know the Lord? Where is God's power? Say amen. When Jesus ascended and sat down on the right hand of the power of God after He had obeyed the ultimate command, He received one commandment like the first Adam. And when He obeyed that commandment, He ascended to the right hand of the power of God after God raised Him from the dead. And the Bible said He became the head over all power. Tell your neighbor, say, the devil's got a head. Hallelujah. That Christ has become His head. Say amen. Hallelujah. Sat down on the right hand of the power of God. For God had made Him the head over all powers, principalities, thrones, dominions, visible as well as invisible. In the day of His flesh, under Moses' law, having received the Spirit of God without measure, He turned to those that were with Him and said to them, behold, I give you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing. Is anybody hearing this? And nothing shall hurt you. It might appear for a moment that you've been hurt. Hallelujah. And God will allow you to walk through some things, especially if you have this message. Because He is going to manifest His glory in a way that is not seen upon others that don't have it. He is going to allow you to walk through some circumstances and situations that is going to look like you can't come out. But you're coming out. Because God is going to give power to His Word. But you have to stand in the Word. After that, you have heard it. After that, the reward of faith has come to you, and you have the power to not only believe it, but to make the journey. And the journey may be longer than what you expected it. I don't think Noah knew that he was going to have to carry the message for 120 years and have no converts. Enoch, all the years that he had to walk believing that he would not die, he was supposed to die like every other man. Amen. Now, you can't have something that God hadn't said to you. I'm going to preach it here tonight. I know a lot of people want to be just like Enoch, but you can't have anything except for what God says to you. Say amen. When God puts it in you and you hear it, then you have faith to believe it. If you're trying to believe something that God hadn't given you, you just make God look bad when it never comes to pass. Because you've told everybody, this is what's going to happen to me. Say amen. And listen, you don't have nothing to prove. Get out of that ego thing. Let God speak to you and just walk it out. Don't try to spread it around like you're spreading manure around everywhere that you've heard from God. People are going to find out after a while that you have heard from God. The proof is going to be in the pudding. Proof is going to be manifested in your journey And people are going to look at you and they're going to say, you have truly heard from the Lord. Amen. Some of the craziest things that I've heard God say to me, I had to keep it to myself. I've had the Lord say some crazy things to me. And then, amen, couldn't say it to too many people what God had said to me. Some years ago, before I'd traveled a lot, I was just in Dallas all the time ministering. The Spirit of God came on me one day and said, I want you to pack a suitcase and go to Florida. Hallelujah. I said, well, Lord, Florida's a big state like Texas. Where shall I go in Florida? And the Lord said, obey me. He didn't tell me where I was going. And when I argued with him, I said, Lord, come on. I'm going to Florida, but I don't know where. And he says to me, obey me. I packed a suitcase, borrowed a car, got on the highway, and was out there 3 days from Dallas, Texas to Tampa, Florida. And I camped in Tampa for 3 days, didn't feel the Spirit of God one time while I was on the highway. Any moment I was thinking he was going to speak to me and tell me Pensacola, Jacksonville, Orlando, Miami, Fort Myers, something. But he didn't say anything to me for 3 days. And I'm staying at the Super Motel 8. Hallelujah. Don't feel God one time. On the third day, I decide to pack my suitcase. I'm going down to Naples and Fort Myers and on down the coast of Miami and then up the west coast, amen, of Florida, through all those cities, all the way to Jacksonville. Then I'm going to make my way across the state through Orlando and up into the panhandle. If nothing happens and God doesn't speak, there's one thing for sure, preacher, you went to Florida. But I get in my car, Brother Larry, and I pull out of the Motel 8 and I get out on the interstate and the presence of God comes in the car and says to me, turn on an AM gospel radio station. And I turned on an AM gospel radio station. As soon as I tuned it in, there was a 30-second tent revival announcement. A man was announcing his tent revival. And the Spirit of God said to me, go by that tent and find out what he had to do to put his tent up. Talk to his people. Maybe you want to bring your tent here sometime in the future. I found the man. Found his tent. Walked under his tent during the day. Hallelujah. Pulled off of the highway. Parked my car. Walked under the tent. Couldn't find one soul under that tent. I was, after about 20 minutes of wandering around and looking at things, I headed out back to my car. And I heard a voice holler at me. Pastor Howard Richardson, is that you? And I looked around. I couldn't see anybody. I said, I hear a voice, but I don't see anybody. He said, look up. And I looked up. Way on up was a man on a tent pole up there working on a light. He said, aren't you Pastor Richardson from Dallas? I said, I'm he. I said, do I know you? He said, you don't know me, but I know you. Give me 1 minute. I'll be right down. The man got off his ladder, introduced himself. He said, I was in Dallas, Texas. Hallelujah. You called me out. He said, I was going through the worst hell in my life. He said, my wife had left me. My ministry, my church fell apart behind it. He said, the people went away. The whole thing was destroyed. You called me out and read my mail. You told me about my wife leaving. You told me about my ministry falling apart, but you also told me about what God was going to do. You told me that my wife was going to call me and she was going to come back into my life and my marriage was going to be restored and that the church would come back together. It all happened just like you told me. He pulled a piece of paper out from his pocket, unfolded it, and he had written out that word of prophecy. Now, I don't remember the man. I said, I don't remember you. And he said, you probably don't, because I was on a 40-day fast and I had lost a lot of weight. He said, I look different now. He had read the prophecy, and he said, at the bottom, he had it written out. How many months, how many weeks, how many days it took for that word to come to pass.